no introduction. That international man of geekery, that intrepid archgeekologist, Indiana Jill.
You have chosen wisely.
I'll never be your hometown hero. I guess that's just the way that it goes. You always said that I'm a 9-10 hero. I guess I'm not cut out. I guess it shows.
I'm back, everybody. Better late than never. No, wait, that's a different show. Doug Rapson. How's everybody doing? I'm good. Thanks for asking. Got a little bit of a scratchy throat. Harg. Trying to get my voice ready for some more Murder at Avedon Hill. Thank you, PG Holyfield. Hopefully this isn't too loud, drowning out my voice. But that right there might be a whole lot better. So, what's going on, everybody? I am your host, Indiana Jim. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Who booed? Is somebody booing? That doesn't sound right. Oh, yes. I have a new toy. Yes, I do.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Well, you ought to have a bad feeling about this because this new toy is amazing. It's free for podcasters. It comes in very handy. Yes, it comes in handy, and so I would say...
You have chosen wisely.
Thank you very much, Mr. Old Guy from Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I like this one, too. This one's cool.
Hello.
Nice to meet you again.
Pleasure. Oh, everyone acquainted?
Now, we are prepared to resist you.
Yes, now we are prepared to resist you. Oh, that's one of my favorite clips from that movie that you... can name yourself. And this is really cool. I like this part. Oh, wait. See, it's supposed to play them all at the same time.
Now, Jazla gets you to the new frontiers of radio automation.
The new frontiers of radio automation.
Bring your station into the new...
Yeah, you just heard the Survival Guide promo with this little number.
Now, Jazla gets you to the new frontiers of radio automation.
The new frontiers of radio automation.
Bring your station into the new age of music and let Jazla do the rest. Jazla, the leading radio automation software.
Software. That, kids, is my new toy, Jazler Show. Go to JAZLER.com. And you will find Jazler, some pretty cool software that I got on the recommendation from our friend Dickie. And see, I just turned myself down so I can cough. Yes, Thursday night, is the start of the NFL football season. I'm excited. I usually am around this time. So a few things I want to go through. Number one, there will be a new podcast. I promise there will be a new podcast coming out. It will be called Fanboys Sportscast, and it will star myself and a friend of mine named Kevin Willis. I live in Louisville, Kentucky metro area, actually on the Indiana side, New Albany, Indiana, and my friend Kevin lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. So we are going to make use of Skype, and it just every time we talk about sports, it's like, man, we should have recorded that. So if you like... excuse me, the witty banter on pod culture, this will be even better than pod culture. No offense, Brad. Why do I bring up pod culture? Because this is the episode where you will hear at least half of my sit-down talk with the pod culture crew. I don't know, maybe I'll just play the whole thing and you guys can... nobody likes to get an hour and a half show in their pod catcher, right? So anyway... oh, gosh. I'm really having a hard time with this cough here. So, Leanne Mabry won the Joe Murphy Memorial Award for Excellence in Podcasting. So, congratulations to Leanne Mabry. Okay, really, I realize the clap thing is annoying, but you know what? It's fun. So, that's nice. Yes, new detail. Okay, I forgot to get to this. I have been invited to the writer's pool at Sci-Fi Studios Magazine. Okay. Yeah, that's a good thing. You may remember me relaying a story through sliceofsci-fi.com about a contest to get published in Sci-Fi Studios magazine or whatever the Star Trek thing was at the time. I don't remember the other one. Star Trek Communicator? No. That was the one that the other guy, Larry Elmore? No, not Larry Elmore. I don't remember the guy's name. I can't remember names. Too ADD for that. Anyway, I entered the contest. Like I said, you know, I submitted my entry. And guess what? I was accepted. And then, a surprise of surprises, I was invited to the writer's pool, which is pretty awesome. There's some pretty cool people. There's a few people from Australia. Anyway, issue 4 is about to come out. Not exactly when, I will make you aware, but go to scifistudios.com and you'll find a really great community of creative people, some in Hollywood, some not in Hollywood. Some very, very cool people are connected to this project, and you need to go check it out, because me just sitting here talking about it won't do anything. So go to scifistudios.com and check that out. what else? Yeah, the Thesis of Fantasy project is still a project in the works.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Well, you know, I'm just lazy, number one. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is just life gets in the way. And life has a habit of doing that. And, you know,
I chose poorly
being alive? Whatever. Anyway, let's cut the crap and play a promo. And then we'll be back with Pod Culture, and I'll see how long it's going to end up being, and then maybe we'll change a little bit. So, in honor of Leanne Mabry winning the Joe Murphy Memorial Award in for Excellence in Podcasting, I give you the following.
With the passing of podcaster Joe Murphy, people have been asking a lot of questions. What is leiomyosarcoma? Is there treatment for this? A friend of mine just got diagnosed with cancer. Now what do I do? That's where Give Us a Minute comes in. Give Us a Minute is a podcast of hope. We invite you to share on this podcast your own trials and tests with cancer, to share memories of Joe and other loved ones, and to join a community that, with the help of Mason Rocket, will work together to combat this disease and find a cure. All proceeds raised by this podcast will go to benefit the Joe Murphy Memorial Fund in its ongoing battle against leiomyosarcoma. Subscribe at www.joemurphymemorialfund.org. And tell everyone you know. Give Us a Minute. For Joe. For all of us. For a cure.
And that right there is my buddy T. Morris. So without any further adieu. Is it adieu? No, that's goodbye. Without any further goodbye. No. Without any further ado. A-D-O. I give you me, myself, I, and Pod Culture. This, by the way, was recorded on Kentucky Derby weekend in friggin' April. All right, I'm here in the Pod Culture studio with
Brad
and Christina.
And Christina of Pod Culture. Duh, what other podcast would you be of if we were in Pod Culture? Never mind.
Well, there's Stargate Louisville that comes out whenever we get around to it.
It will. We promise it will.
So Glenn's not here, and this is why you've asked me to come today. But so I wanted to turn the tables around on you guys and kind of pick your brains a little bit. So you say you've got what about active audience of what? You said 250?
It fluctuates, but you know, anywhere from 250 to 600, depending on the episode and what it's about, usually.
Right.
They have a lot of fluctuation.
You said you had a big spike from the Joe Murphy
thing. When we put that out, of course, that was a big thing for a lot of podcasters. When the guys from Farpoint did the Wingin' It show, the tribute to Joe, they made it available to any podcaster that wanted to put it out on their feed. We put it out, and numbers went through the roof.
Why do you think that was the case? If they could get it on any other podcast, especially, you know, the Farpoint Media stuff, why do you think your subscribers listeners went up?
In part, like I said, you know, a lot of people that knew Joe from the shows may have downloaded it. I know that we hit a spike in numbers because the Signal put it out on their feed as well. And unbeknownst to me, in real time, they linked their feed to our file. so their subscribers, when they were downloading it, hit our numbers.
Okay.
So when, I guess it was Jill over at the Signal edited their feed, because they do theirs a little bit different than what we do, they link to ours, and so that's probably accounts for, I think, at least half, two-thirds of that number, probably.
All right. So the episode that we just did, what part of, is that part of 46?
That would be episode 46, part B. Mm-hmm. Wars and Meets the Ear.
When was episode zero?
Episode zero, that would have been December of 2005.
And what was the makeup of the host staff at that point?
It was just Glenn and I. It was just me and Glenn for about, I think, the first half a dozen, eight episodes. I think you came in on nine.
I was taking notes on a few of those before I started to be actually on the show.
Yeah.
So when were you guys married?
We're not.
You're not married.
We're not.
Edit that out.
No. No, she's been down here ever since she was on the show, pretty much.
Uh-huh. I came here at Christmas time of 05, and he said, stay as long as you want, see if you like it. I went home in February, came back the first week of March with all my stuff, and I've been here ever since.
Wow.
March of 06.
And when you have two geek pack rats under the same roof, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Action figures going on here in the office.
I just feel real bad for missing that. Are you guys planning on doing that, or is that anywhere in the scope of things?
Never know.
We'll see how long he can put up with me.
And vice versa.
So, how long, you said you've been doing this since 04, is that right?
Well, we've been podcasting since 05.
05.
December of 05. So technically, I guess we're in our third year of podcasting, if you want to get technical.
Yeah, I keep meaning to go back and listen to those first half a dozen.
Oh, they're bad.
I'm curious to see. Cause
they're bad.
Half the time, they recorded in the, you know, the wee hours of the morning. And the few that I was here for as they were recording them, I was asleep on the couch. Like, I tried to stay up and listen to them, but it was like 4 in the morning. It was pushing, you know.
Glenn used to have a job that would, he would work in like a second shift sort of thing, so wouldn't get off until 10, 11, 12 at night sometimes. So then he'd come over afterwards, usually on like a Friday or Saturday, and we would record.
Mm-hmm.
So when he shows up at midnight, it still takes you about a half hour, 45 minutes to get ready for a show, and then we record. And
wee hours
of the morning.
I saw a wee out there in your living room. Yep. What made you decide to do this crazy thing called podcasting?
Well, listened to a lot of, just having listened to a lot of podcasts, and back when I was in high school, I was working for the high school radio station, WNAS, Stereo 88, New Albany.
Yay!
And got in a lot of trouble for pulling shenanigans.
And wow, shenanigans.
Geeky stuff.
You?
Oh, no, yeah. But when I looked at podcasting, I'm like, you know, we can do that. It's not that hard. And essentially what we do when we record is what we would be doing anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Talking about all the stuff we're doing and the stuff we're watching on TV.
Glenn for the better part of 20 years now. Almost, I guess. No, it's kind of scary.
Aw.
And, you know, that's essentially what we do. We'll go grab a bite to eat and talk about the latest TV or movie or whatever.
Oh, my God, we saw the coolest thing on TV.
The only difference is we got mics stuck in front of our faces now. And essentially that's what our show is. It's just us talking about our lives and, you know, what's going on in our geek world.
Which,
and
I like for those of you who don't know, Brad likes to talk into the mic even when it's not on.
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, we're sitting around here before we were recording this segment, and I'm talking to Christina and unconsciously leaning into the mic to talk to it. And we weren't even recording.
And he'll point like people can see him.
And I'm sitting over here nodding my head. So what, you were going to say something.
No, I just think it's cool how we all like such different things. Like, at the core level, it's all the same. But, like, Glenn is into the anime. You know, and I have never seen anime
Chinese girls with large eyes.
Pretty much.
Large and, some other things, too, sometimes.
Tracts of land.
Tracts of land. Yeah.
Nice.
Huge tracts of land.
I like the English things, and, you know, we all like a little bit different stuff, so it all kind of comes together, and we, you know, I've learned things about anime that I would have never known, and it's interesting to see how we overlap and don't on stuff that we like.
She likes a lot of British TV, And Glenn and I like a lot of British TV as well.
But completely, it's completely different British TV.
Like, yeah. He and I are the Avengers and things like that. While Christine is a lot of the comedies, like, you know, Red Dwarf or what have you. Mm-hmm. And then she and I have been getting into Doctor Who.
Some English sci-fi. Not English dramas.
comedy as well. Like, you know, there was a whole stretch of time when they had all this kind of stuff on PBS at night. Mm-hmm. I would stay up in high school up and, you know, until 2 in the morning to watch all these English shows on TV.
Right. So how'd you guys run into each other?
In Cincinnati.
Yeah. For the Southern
Everything
Ohio.
Happens in Cincinnati.
Yes.
What happens in Cincinnati apparently doesn't stay in Cincinnati.
Wow, it follows you home.
Yeah. It moves to Louisville.
She followed me home. Can I keep her?
I've had that happen before.
But actually, it was because of Firefly, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Glenn and I had gotten tickets to one of the pre-screenings when they were doing the pre-screenings of Serenity back in, I think it was June of 05, the screening we got to see. And he and I went and saw it, met up with some folks from the Southern Ohio Browncoats, got to know them, and I started going to some of their shindigs.
And I started coming down from Cleveland to the shindigs.
Wow.
Because they had no, at the time, they had no group up north in Ohio. It was only Southern Ohio that had the group. I'm like, whoa, it's a 5-hour Greyhound ride. What the hell?
And it met up at the digs, and it went on from there.
In August of 05.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, I guess.
And action figures.
History.
And DVDs.
So thank you, Joss Whedon.
Thank you, Joss Whedon.
History that continues to be made.
Thank you, Joss Whedon.
So how'd you feel when, spoiler alert, Wash died?
Well, she wasn't with me when, at the pre-screening, but Glenn went, and he was sitting next to me, and of course, I am Wash, basically.
Yeah,
essentially, I am one, to the Hawaiian shirts and everything.
Only
and
he can't fly.
I got toy dinosaurs and stuff, too.
You're
and so that was probably my
sardonic voice of reason in the crew.
No,
that would be you, right?
Yeah, that'd
be that, if that you mean smart aleck? Yes.
Okay. That would be Mal.
And essentially,
it's Mal and Wash's body.
Yeah, Wash slash Xander. You know, those have always been my kind of characters of in Joss's creation. And here I am. I'm watching it. Hey, this is a great movie. And then you get to the "I am a leaf on the wind."
Bunk, funk. Yeah.
And he gets the telephone pole through the chest. I'm just like, and so the whole rest of the movie, I'm just kind of sitting there, eyes open, jaw hanging down somewhere around the floor for the rest of the movie. And so, you know, movie ends, lights come up, and I'm just kind of still sitting there stunned. And Glenn kind of just kind of reaches his hand over him and pats in front of my face like, dude,
you're
awake?
Right?
Yeah, I'm waving my hand in front of my face
like people can see.
Listeners can actually hear me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, you still there?
No, you're talking to me. It's okay.
Yeah. And then promptly went downstairs from the movie theater to Clada's, where everybody sat around and had an impromptu wake for Wash right after the movie.
Thankfully, I knew he was going to die. I didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And after it happened, it was Zoe's reaction that killed me. It's like she's shaking him to get him up, and he's already gone. It was just, I'm glad I knew ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like Brad, I'd have missed the last 20 minutes of the movie. But I really enjoyed it.
Now, I'm looking around your studio here, and you guys have got pretty much everything. I mean, if I were going to make a collection of one thing, I could pick one category out of all the stuff you have and have a big collection.
And that's not everything, either.
I kind of believe that. Now,
I didn't bring all my stuff down from Cleveland, either.
You've got Star Wars stuff, Battlestar Galactica stuff. You've got Angel tie-in novels, Alias tie-in novels, Serenity stuff, Quantum Leap tie-in novels. I didn't even know they made those.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of Green Lantern stuff.
That's
I didn't want to say Green Hornet. That would have been wrong. All kinds of Star Trek models. Babylon 5, junk. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was a watcher. Stop. Babylon 5. Buffy stuff, more Joss Whedon. Boil it down for me, Brad. What's the central geek pleasure for you? What's the biggest geek influence on you?
That's a good question.
Probably I would have to say...
That's why I'm a great interviewer.
Star Trek, the original series.
I'm just messing around.
I mean, that's one thing...
I mean, you've heard me. I'm not very good.
Star Trek, the original series, that's just what...
It's Star Trek. I mean,
what can you say?
There's not much more you can say.
It's Kirk. And that's kind of what, you know, that was the first, I guess, sci-fi show I remember watching on my own. And
yeah, well, same here.
And then, of course, you know, Battlestar.
Mm-hmm.
The classic
1978
series. And, you know, watching things like that. And then when I got older, you know, it's things like Buffy, Angel, that are, let's face it, probably a little better written than some of that. you know, cartoon or anime-wise, you know, Battle of the Planets, you know, mm-hmm. based on Gatchaman anime, that kind of thing. It's just stuff that was on TV when I was a kid that I grew up watching. That's about it.
What's your story, Christina?
Phantom of the Opera.
Well, yeah, that's my one true obsession. Beware is Phantom of the Opera.
The Phantom of... Sorry.
It's okay. I love it. It makes me so happy. But
it's good stuff.
Vampires.
Vampires.
I watched The Lost Boys when I was 7.
Ooh.
6 or 7.
Yeah.
And Fright Night when I was 7 or 8.
Mm.
And that was pretty much
the
staple. That was pretty much the staple of my
she was one
entertainment stuff.
Yeah. I'm a pervy old man.
How old are you, Brad?
36, almost 37.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
I just turned 30 last month.
You're still younger than T. Morris. That's that's important.
Any kind of supernatural, anything, ghost,
mm-hmm.
vampires, werewolves.
She kind of more in the horror.
That's kind
genre.
Of where I started.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sort of took off from there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a big horror fan, but, you know, stuff like if it's vampires a la, you know, like Angel or something like that, then that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's not horror.
See, it's not so much the horror that got me. It was the characters themselves that I liked. Like, mm-hmm. the backstory and development of the characters that I fell in love
like
with.
You watched Dark Shadows, didn't you?
The remake, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The NBC
mm-hmm.
short-lived
91, one. I yeah. believe. Yeah. Yes, and I was obsessed with that. And The Greatest American Hero when I was little.
Oh,
was a big
yeah.
influence.
Religiously. Oh, I watched that religiously. I
hated that show.
Brad.
That was the first character I ever had something hanging on my wall of. I had this picture of William Cat that I just thought he was the best, and I was like 6 years old. But
it's because he was.
You know, that kind of superhero, average Joe turned superhero kind of idea.
Yeah.
I'm just glad she has a thing for geeks.
Yeah. Because he was...
be helpful.
He was an English teacher in his little tweed jacket, and I thought that was adorable.
Even when English I was English teacher?
No, I'm a geek.
I'm
glad she has
the
thing for geeks. Although I subbed for 3 years, but that's another story.
I don't think you have any tweed, though. That's a shame.
No. I'm more of a blue jean kind of guy.
Yeah.
So who was the tweed guy?
I'm the Greatest American Hero.
Oh, him.
Uh-huh.
He was, okay, you looked over at him.
And Giles.
I'm all confused.
Yeah, Giles.
It's that teacher complex, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, have you guys made any conscious effort while building your listener base for the show? I mean, you kind of come together and you do what you would do naturally. And the way with any podcast is kind of, unless it's Sci-Fi Smackdown, you get a lot of preamble. You know, it starts off real slow.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you build that base up? Or did you really do anything purposeful towards that?
I did a lot of stuff.
Pimping in the forums.
I posted
basically.
On forums I was already members of, like for the Whedon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, here's a show we're doing. We're going to be talking about Angel and Buffy, and, mm-hmm. you know, here's our show.
When we first started the show, more when Glenn and I started the show, it's trying to do a few themed episodes.
Yeah.
You know, like one was about DVD box sets. I think that was episode 2.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm. And we tried to do themes. And that just, it felt a little confining. So we finally just started.
It felt kind of contrived because you tried to find things to talk about in that particular thing. And you couldn't branch off and talk about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've kind of compromised with like, okay, well, we know we're going to talk about what TV we've been watching. So, okay, so we've got a TV segment. So, yeah, we have segments, but there's no structure to those. I mean, you know, our TV could be 5 minutes or it could wind up being 45.
It's usually longer, though, because we watch a lot of TV.
We import a lot of TV.
We watch quite a bit of...
But that's where, like, building listener base. The only thing really conscious effort would be, like, when she goes and posts in a forum or, you know, when I went to Dragon Con last year, I met a lot of podcasters and, mm-hmm. you know, you just swap promos right. or you get to know them. And
they're all such nice people.
Yeah, and you get a mention on the show or something like that, and then mm-hmm. go from there.
Yeah, it's very viral mm-hmm. marketing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I did with the Star Wars show is I sent promos to everybody. I sent an email. I probably sent it to you.
Yeah, I've got, remember. Got it.
Sent the email to you or to everybody basically saying, here's what I'm doing, you know, looking for help. And it's kind of like...
And you got
very, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind
of
thing.
And you got one heck of a plug on the Slice website.
Yeah, I was totally surprised too because I sent an email to, I actually asked Sam if he wanted to come on the show with me and talk about Star Wars because he's, you know, in his 60s now. Mm-hmm. And he was 20, you know, when Star Wars first came out, or he was basically our age when Star Wars first came out. So I wanted to get his perspective being someone who was already an adult when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just he was awfully busy. So, you know, I sent the email to him and, you know, it didn't get a response until he said, hey, here's a link to a story we put on Slice. I was like,
holy crap.
What? You know? And I'm eternally grateful for that because that was just so cool because I didn't expect him to do that. And I've kind of got little sprinklings somewhere like, Jack Hosley, Wander mm-hmm. Radio. He had a story from Scott Sigler, and I basically asked, he told me he was talking about it on Skype, and I said, well, can I read that for you? You know, just, I'll do it.
Yeah.
He says, okay. So he sends it to me, and I record it, and Scott liked it. He actually sent it to Pseudopod,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't go for it. Aww. But so anyway, I've got this connection with Scott Sigler now, mm-hmm. who's like
Scott's huge. Cool.
So, you know, it was like, you know, this thing, like if I can get myself in... all these people, like T mm-hmm. did originally with Dragon Page. He knew that if he made friends with those guys, he's going to be out there in front of people that are listening. And so I also kept begging T. I said, let me do a voice on Billy. Let me do a voice on Billy. And he finally, you know, let me do mm-hmm. a voice on Billy. And I guess I did a good job. I don't know. But and through that, he and I have become friends. You know, so it's the thing I like about podcasting versus traditional stuff is that connection that you make with people.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that too. It's like it's relatively new in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a community of people who just want to help each other out
yeah.
to get it out there. And I love that.
Right. Whereas radio, it's about competition. You don't want to talk about the other station across town,
mm-hmm.
but you're also so limited because WHAS, huge radio station, but they only go as far as Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we've got live streaming on the web and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I like about podcasting is it's not about competition.
No, it's great. I mean, we have met some podcasters and, you know, from as, you know, people who have, you know, what would be considered smaller podcasts like well, ours
yeah.
to, you know, folks like Dawn and Drew who have one of the bigger podcasts that are out there.
And they're right. all such fantastic people. And you would think that with a huge fan base like they have and a huge show that they have that's everywhere that they would be, you know, a little aloof,
uppity maybe.
Yeah.
No they're
and
cool
they're
as hell.
Fabulous people.
Yeah
we got to meet them at, they had a fan meetup in Lexington and they were great.
Yeah,
and it's just connecting the constellations of podcasts that's just mm-hmm. interesting to me how we all sort of support each other.
Right. And you're not, you are kind of competing for that block of listenership, but it's more like, you know, I'll play your promo and give you a shot at my mm-hmm. listener base. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you don't have to listen to everything at a particular time.
Right.
You can listen to it.
Media.
It hasn't been, you know, cause that's the thing. It's pretty much what was I saying? It's essentially on demand. You can mm-hmm. listen to it whenever mm-hmm. that you want to.
Yeah.
I didn't get into a lot of audio novels until probably late last year and started listening. You know, I listened to, for example, Scott Sigler's stuff, all of his stuff up straight through.
Right.
Because by the time I found it, he had been, everything was over with, and listened to that, all that straight through. And it wasn't until The Rookie that I was listening on a weekly basis. You know, it's fantastic stuff. With J.C. Hutchins and the Seventh Son books, I listened to the first two books probably in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, okay, when the hell is book three going to come out?
And there's no competition for your time either, because you can listen to 100 different shows if you want to. It's not like you can say, well, I like this one, I'm not allowed to like this one. You can listen to as many shows as you have time for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is also kind of why I wanted to record this segment here, because I thought of it. I figured, I've got you guys here. Mm-hmm. What the heck? I need content to film my show, probably coming up. So, and I like the idea of being able to take your listeners over to my site and give me a shot. And vice versa. You know, I've got listeners that'll check out PodCulture.
I hope so.
But the interesting thing that I've found is I've got mostly podcasters listening to my show. I've got Doug Raffson of Geek Acres, Jack Hosley, Wander Radio, T. Morris is now a listener, Phil Rossi, let's see, Dickie of the Stealth Geek podcast. Put out an episode, Dickie. So I've got these podcasters. I don't get a lot of feedback, but I know they're out there. Mm-hmm. Leanne Mabry, I don't know if she listens actively, but she's on my podcast Pickle page as a fan. So it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know what it is I'm offering people that they like so much as podcasters. Maybe it's just because I've talked to them and say, hey, check out my show, check out my show. You know, and it's really strange for me.
I mean, a lot of it is, even though we are, you know, may have different interests, we all have one common interest. And that is this, you know, broadcasting.
Pod and, culture.
You know, yeah, essentially.
Culture of the pod.
Somebody asked me how I came up with the name, and I'm just like, okay, pop culture, it's a podcast, okay. Oh, that sounds like a cool name. So, but anyway, we all have this thing in common, sitting down in front of a microphone and sharing part of your life or part of your time for someone else.
And knowing that those people listen to you like the same things you do. It's like if you had the people in the area with you, you'd have them over for dinner because you share such a common, you know, idea.
And that's the amazing thing I found about this is we don't get a lot of feedback. We do get some, but we have listeners, you know, here in Louisville and over we've in Scotland. We've got at least three listeners I know over in Scotland, which I find amazing. And as a plane flies over the roof.
Yeah, it's like you would, if they lived here, you'd have them over. But, you know, they're everywhere. We had one person, Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see pod culture going? I mean, do you guys have any creative pursuits you're thinking of branching off into? Or?
Well, our one time that we tried to branch off is not doing all that great.
Ironically enough.
You know, we do have a spinoff podcast that we do whenever we can.
Hmm.
You know, we've got Stargate Louisville.
It's ironic because we live together, and it's not like we have to come over to somebody else's house.
Yeah.
We just don't have as much.
We just don't get it.
So you guys are the Stargate podcaster people, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do some. We've gotten three, I think, four episodes of that total out.
Because Glenn's a chicken and won't watch them.
Pretty much, yeah. but for creative, we just have fun what we're doing. That's the thing. As long as we're having fun doing it, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there's no grand plan.
Sure. Would we like to be like, for example, Dawn and Drew, who were able to quit their jobs and this is their job.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if we could make a living at it, sure.
I don't want that kind of pressure.
You know, but then it would become a job.
Right.
It's like, okay, God, we got to get a show out.
Yeah.
And there's enough just self pressure on that as it is. You know, I feel bad if I realize we're not going to be able. The couple of times we've had to delay a show, I felt bad about it.
Yeah.
You know?
He was so sick the one weekend. He couldn't get off the couch. He was so sick. And he kept talking about having to put the show out. Like, if it's out 2 days later, it's going to be okay. You know?
And finally, I think we just, at the point, by the time it got to the point where I was feeling well enough to get up off the couch and to the point where I wasn't going to cut loose.
Chuck.
Yeah. And come into the studio to put the episode out. It's like, you know, another day or two, and we'll have another episode due anyway. So we'll just say, we'll just go ahead and put this one out later.
Yeah. I think if we had to do it for a job, we wouldn't enjoy it as much because it would be a pressure. It would be a chore. It would be, you know, well, if this sucks, it's going to be, you know. Like, we can suck now because nobody pays us to do it.
I mean, if we could get to the point where...
If we have a sucky episode, it's okay.
It's okay. Oh, I'm glad it's okay because sometimes they are that way. If we could eventually get to the point where we're breaking even, paying expenses or something like that, mm-hmm. that'd be great. I'd be ecstatic on that because we need to buy some more equipment.
See, that's the thing, too. It's like the never-ending circle. Mm-hmm. It's like you get the new mixer, now you got to have... the new microphones to go with the new mixer, and then you have to get the cables to go with the microphones to go with the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
If you give a mouse a cookie, you know, it's never going to end.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, the main thing is, as long as we're enjoying it and having a good time and all that, that's what it is.
Are you guys getting any kind of residual?
No.
Nope. From this? No, not yet.
Not a thing.
Well, no, we can't say that because our fans have sent us some wonderful things, and that's even more fun than having it paid for.
Yeah. I mean, and it's...
Now, why can't my fans send me stuff?
Maybe they will. Maybe some of our fans will listen to your show.
I mean, that's the thing. As a lark, you know, Glenn already had a P.O. box for his company.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, you know, can we go ahead and get in on that? And he's like, yeah. So
we're
thinking
we'll get, you know, a postcard every now and then.
I mean, we've... had listeners over in England send us English chocolates a couple of times, actually.
People sent us candy and movies and stuff to review, and it's so crazy. Nice.
It's been fun.
it's more fun than money.
It's awesome.
You know, we've got, you know, a stack of DVDs here that
free movies.
Yeah.
Yep. Gosh, you know, that would help your budget immensely if you get those.
Yeah, and that's great. Well, this pile that we have sitting here, that's our payment, and it is
it's better
a blast.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Or the voicemails that you get, that kind of thing.
Or the emails. I get emails from people all the time saying, "Oh my gosh, I totally agree with you." Or, "No, you're crazy."
That's because you're a chick, and most of the podcast listeners are dudes.
You know what though? The emails that I've gotten have all been from chicks. Mm-hmm. It's few and far between. They're from men. Usually it's women saying, "Oh my gosh, I totally agree with you," or "No, what are you talking about?"
Yeah. It's okay to be a girl and be a geek.
Yes.
Well, see, that's the thing that keeps me going is knowing that there's people out there listening. Mm-hmm. Like, Dickie doesn't know this, but he was the guy that said, when I first did the As Yet Untitled podcast, when I first started getting going, you know, he said, I love the Star Wars stuff that you do. And I was like, when this came around, 30th anniversary, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a whole knockdown, drag-out thing about Star Wars. So first I asked Nathan Butler if he would be on my show. And he said, sure. I was like, awesome, because I've been following him for years. And I thought, well, I've never heard Lou Tambone or T-Bone on any interview, so I'll email him. And sure, okay, awesome. So I've got two people that I've been following on the internet for a while. And then he forwards my email to Chris Macht from The Force Among Us, and he emails me saying he'd be interested in doing an interview on my show. And I'm floored. I'm like,
that's awesome.
How? You know, how did this happen? And just because Lou forwarded it on. And, you know, he came on my show. We talked for an hour.
Oh, my God.
Hour-long interview. And actually, all three, Lou was only 38 minutes. But Nathan and I actually talked for about an hour and 15.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Chris talked for an hour. And it was such a good discussion. And I was like, these interviews, these are really working. You know, and so basically the Star Wars Extravaganza was for Dickie because he took the time to send in that feedback. And it's kind of the feedback is what drives the show as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, if nobody's listening, there's no point in doing it for me. You know, I feel I have the need to be heard. And you guys, I mean, you're doing it because it's an outlet for what you're already doing. You know, I don't really have that. And my show is basically me by myself.
Yeah, and that, I couldn't do a show. I could not do this by myself.
I'm not that interesting by myself.
And I think
I don't know that I'm interesting either. But
no, I enjoy listening to it. I enjoy listening to it. And there are people who, you know, such as yourself or others, who can do a single show by themselves. Like, you know, T. A lot of his stuff, it's just him.
Right.
I don't think I could do that.
Depending on what it was about, like if it was a completely centered around something that I'm obsessed with, maybe I could do an episode on my own, but I could never do a whole show.
And I think that might be part of our problem with Stargate Louisville. You know, it's just her and I.
Right.
When Glenn and I first started Pod Culture, you know, there was a lot of slack space where, you know, lulls in the conversation, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So they brought in me.
But when, like I said, with their three of us, odds are one of us is going to have something to say about anything. So, and that helped out a lot. Plus, it brought another perspective to the show as well.
Sometimes our opinions are the same, and sometimes they're vastly different.
Oh, I know.
So,
but I was going to say that most of my experience was listening to, like, talk radio, you know, and obviously Rush Limbaugh's the biggest one that everybody knows. And, you know, he's always said, well, I'm going to talk about what's interesting to me and not worry about what everybody else thinks. And that's kind of where I went as far as the topics are concerned. You know, if it's interesting to me, I'll talk about it. But the thing is, you know, feedback drives what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that Doug Rapson is out there listening makes me want to get something out.
And yeah, what feedback we do get, we take into account.
I love getting email from people saying, you know, I heard your show and I really like this part and keep up the good work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why we're weekly now instead of biweekly. Mm-hmm. People were wanting more shows,
right.
But our shows were too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were epic.
So, you know, there was a good point
we
where we'd have,
lot.
I think we had one episode that ran over 2 hours at one point.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's just a little bit too long for a show. So
I couldn't listen to anything that long.
I sat down and figured out what we could do. And I'm like, well, we can cut them in half, but I don't want to broadcast just a half every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we went weekly. You know, we'll added in a little more music. We're able to get some stuff from the Signal. Gave us permission to rebroadcast some of the stuff from their show.
That's cool.
So that's why every once in a while we'll have a sci-fi review and put it out weekly.
Right.
So, you know, it.
And that's the thing, too, that I like about the music and the idea that we're giving other people a chance to be heard that might not normally reach a certain kind of audience.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, that's,
like, we're always asking for submissions for if you've written something you'd like us to read and talk about, if you filmed the movie you'd like to see and talk, you know, us to see and talk about, you know, send it in. We'll talk about it. We'll plug you on the show. We'll link it on our site. And,
well, and, you know, the thing with podcasting is you listen to some of these other podcasts, you'll find artists that you wouldn't have never have heard about, but that you'd like. For example, I listen to Mer Lafferty's podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not a writer, but it's interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But she talks about this group Beatnik Turtle a lot. Of course, they're the ones that did the Mason Rocket song. And I went and checked them out, and I liked their stuff. So I clicked on iTunes and
bought a considerable amount of music.
All that they had at the time.
Yes.
Which, granted, okay, was 3 albums, but
still.
And it's, I enjoy it. I mean, it's, you know, geek kind of rock. And, you know, I never would have heard of them had I not listened to her show.
Right.
Of course, Christina would probably prefer that I hadn't heard of them.
I'm sure they're lovely men. I'm sure they're very nice people.
It's, you know, that's, and that's the thing. You know, there's stuff that I like that, and that she does, and vice versa, so.
Mm-hmm. So give me, we're in a veritable treasure trove of movies and books and things. Give me, each of you, your top 3 movies and why.
Oh my God, that's impossible. Okay, go ahead, you first.
She'll have to think about it for a minute, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, probably one of, I don't know, in no particular order on the movies, Wizard of Oz. That is probably one of my all-time favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the Wicked Witch used to scare the crap out of me as a kid. But even more so, the creepy-ass monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Those monkeys scared the bejesus out of me when I was a little kid. And it's just, essentially, you know, think about it. Wizard of Oz is science fiction.
Yeah.
You know, your tornado picks up your house and blows it into another land.
Right. It's fantasy. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly a story of contentment. Being content where you are with what you have.
Grass is greener on the other side.
Right. And the wizard doesn't actually give the Scarecrow a brain. He says, you're smart enough the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
The Tin Man, he doesn't actually give him a heart. He gives him a watch. But it's a token of the love he already has for his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got another deep archetype. Yeah. It's a classic story.
I mean, another movie would be, and this is going to be weird because it's, again, it's, I guess it does have a sort of a sci-fi bent to it if you think about it. Brigadoon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alternate Dimensions.
Of course, yeah, I was one of the rare guys who's straight male in high school theater.
And I'm keeping it.
Well, that was probably my one of my favorite movies there was just this. I love the story. Always, you know, the Scottish culture is my favorite one that we did in high school.
And Gene Kelly was the man, by the way.
Oh,
yeah. And it's my, like I said, one of my favorite movies. But then thinking about it as Mulder, that does have a sci-fi bent to it as well,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fantasy
story
elements.
That appears mm-hmm. once every 100 years. And again, it's a story of contentment, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what, you know, he finds this great life, but doesn't have the courage to leave it for another. And then when he goes back, it's that love was able to make, wake a guy up to go back to the village.
Right.
Number three, movies. That's where it gets a little difficult. Probably we would have to say Serenity, because that is, mm-hmm. I think I was telling Glenn when we went and saw it, that was the first time that I went and saw a movie that gave me the same kind of feeling that going to see Star Wars did when I was a kid.
Okay.
You came out of that movie going, man, that was an awesome movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the show, too? Did you watch the show?
Yeah. I didn't watch it when it was on. I came into it later mm-hmm. Because it was, I was out shopping with my ex-girlfriend, Angie, which, you know, we're still friends. But we were out shopping one day. She picked it up and goes, isn't that the same guy that did Buffy and Angel? Look, yeah. Well, hell, we're buying this. And started watching it from there.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing. So those are probably three of my top movies right now.
Why is it that Serenity such a huge deal for people?
In part because they got foxed. It was cut off before it could.
Morons.
Yeah.
Yes. definitely.
And now Nathan's been foxed twice.
Moron. Yeah. Going with Fox.
Yeah. I feel bad for Tim Minear.
I feel bad for all of them.
Yeah, but it was...
He's not really a moron.
The show was cut off before it could even grow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and there's like, you know, this is so good. It has so much potential. Then all of a sudden, it's gone. There's nothing you're not going to see anymore. And then all of a sudden, we do. You know, people say this is the first movie that's been made from a canceled TV series. Well, no, technically it's not.
Right.
There's Star Trek that was actually like that.
Yeah.
But
that was canceled.
That was canceled after those few number of shows. I mean, there was only, 10 episodes that they actually aired? 10 or 11, I think, or something like that.
Oh, no, there was more than
that. There were 3 unaired episodes.
Of what?
Firefly.
Oh, I thought you meant Star Trek.
No, Star Trek. There's 79 episodes of the original series.
Mm-hmm.
80 if you count the pilot that never aired.
Yeah.
But with Firefly, there's only, you know, a handful of episodes
mm-hmm.
that actually made it to air. And they were all kafuzzled when they were broadcast, you know, jumbled out of order.
Yeah.
But yet it was still that popular. Show gets canceled. 2 years later, we have a movie. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah. And it was all due to fans just screaming out for it. Me in particular, I like the combination of the sci-fi and the Western.
Because
I've always been kind of a fan of that Western element, you know, the walking out in the middle of the street with your gun on your hip and daring the other guy to do something. But it was always people standing up for the little people.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of the Western element in the movie, which has got...
Well, there was enough for me with the leather and the pistols and stuff, you know, it was...
And it's not so much, I think it's the character of the people. It's the integrity of the characters that makes it the Western kind of feel.
Right.
You know, the right and wrong in this unlikely environment.
They may be bad guys, but they're really doing right.
Right.
And then they struggle with that dichotomy between choosing good and choosing evil, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there was I can't think of the episode title offhand, but where they steal the drugs and they find out what the true story about Train Drop, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And they find out what the real story is behind that, and they take them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the the result of doing so is they've got this crime lord Niska that's going to kill him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about for you?
I've been thinking the whole time he's been talking, and I will try. From my childhood, I have to say The Goonies.
Yeah.
Had a big effect on me. Just the swashbuckling kind of movie.
The swash and buckle.
All these kids getting together and doing this crazy thing. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it in the theater 6 times.
Wow.
When it came out, and that was completely unheard of for me.
Right. It was very vivid in my mind, too.
Yeah.
I think I saw that at the drive-in.
In your 57 Chevy?
Yeah.
Convertible?
No, a crappy old station wagon that my parents used to have.
I'm going to say Somewhere in Time. Oh, with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour.
Okay, yeah.
Superman and Dr. Quinn.
Again, I watched it when I was little, and it had a big impact on how I viewed how love should be.
Really?
You know, he should be, you know, linked to time travel for you.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing.
And just a sci-fi bent to it.
The scenery and the costuming, and and Christopher Reeve was just lovely.
He's a man.
Christopher was just lovely. And God, it's impossible because there are so many genres. Like, okay, here's top 3 in comedy. Here's top 3 in sci-fi. Here's top 3 in drama. Probably I'm going to say Shadowlands is another one of my favorite all-time movies. Every time it's on, I have to stop. Anthony Hopkins, Winger. He played C.S. Lewis.
Mm.
And it was the true story of how he met his wife.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, it's a beautiful story. And knowing it's true makes it even better. And I cry every time I see it, no matter how many times I've seen it.
C.S. Lewis.
Why didn't you see that?
One of my favorite authors. And
why? No, I saw the book sitting there. But
yeah.
He wrote my favorite series of books as a kid, Chronicles of Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a kid, hit my mic. As a kid, I read those books. I'm like, these are great kind of adventure stories. You know, they got these tales of what these kids do.
Yeah, I'm going to move mine, make it a loud noise.
Okay. Yeah. And it wasn't until I got a little older that as a Christian, I realized what the actual story is being told in these books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story of Christ. If you think about it, Aslan in those books, that's Christ. That's right. His whole story behind there. And I'm like, as soon as I hit it, I was like, damn, that's cool.
I went to a Catholic school, and they had us read these books, and they never once talked about the religious undertone at all. I had to read it later on in life before I even knew what they were talking about. And those are the reason I love Shadowlands so much, because it's that whole tie-in of knowing the stories and then seeing his life and how, you know, how he came to it all.
How do you look at Lord of the Rings by comparison?
Lord of the Rings, and I know that they were good friends. Lord of the Rings, I like the movies. The movies are really good. The books are so dry in a lot of ways in reading them. I mean, I've read them. I'm reading The Hobbit. Actually, I think I like The Hobbit a little better than the Lord of the Rings series.
I agree.
But those were the first books as a kid. You know, I did read them, but wasn't a fan of the books themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see as much of a comparison story-wise as those.
Right.
I do see the thing of the temptation with the ring.
Yeah.
But as an actual allegory, I don't.
Right. Well, and that was the largest disagreement between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read Tolkien's letters, and C.S. Lewis was of the opinion, and he was a Protestant, Tolkien was a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So they have diverging opinions. One is very evangelistic, one is not so much.
Right.
And so C.S. Lewis was like, there is no better way to relate the story, the most important story ever, than doing this with direct allegory. And Tolkien hated allegory. And I'm kind of, even as a Protestant, though, kind of in more of agreement with Tolkien than I am with Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I much prefer hitting on the larger elements and not so much an allegory, but maybe a glimmer, a reflection.
More along the themes of something rather than an actual one-to-one comparison of the
story.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. And for me, you know, I'm a lot different than a lot of other normal church-going people.
Same here, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Left Behind series.
Oh, I love those.
I'm not a very big fan of stuff that's really overt.
Mm-hmm.
Because if my intention is to convince people of the message, then it's going to be the message itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use... I mean, you can use a metaphor and say, well, it's kind of like this. You can say, well, it's kind of like Chronicles of Narnia. But I'm not going to go say to a person, here, read the Chronicles of Narnia, because I don't have the guts to tell you to your face what I really think.
Yeah, that's a common complaint from a lot of people that went and saw the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Saying there was... And I got into it. Huge blow up with someone about that. Damn, that it was too, the message, the story is too overt. You know, they shouldn't have put all this Christianity into the movie. Like, dude, that's what the movie is about. That's the point
of
the movie. It was The Chronicles
of
Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and a Wardrobe.
Well, it was an direct adaptation.
Right.
Yeah, and I actually haven't had a chance to catch the movie yet.
Which, yeah, I need it. I don't know why I don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's good. And I really don't look at it as being all that overt, but certainly it's direct adaptation.
Well, especially later on in the book when you get
to the final
book of the
series. I think if you're looking for it, you see it more, but if you're
right.
just going to enjoy the story, you're not going to pick it out
mm-hmm.
right away.
Right. And that's part of the thing. That's what they had heard, that's
right.
what it's about, and then they were able to see all this.
So he was
looking
for it.
As a kid, I read the books. To me, they were...
It was fantasy.
The version
me.
Of like Harry Potter yeah. now, you know, they're great fantasy books that you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents just said, here's some books, read them. You know, and then one year, Mom had asked me what I wanted for Christmas, so I told her Chronicles of Narnia. And she has to go into the kids section of Walton's for her 30-plus-year-old son.
Yeah. Well, this kind of boils down to where I wanted to end up here in this segment was podcasting with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And my purpose as a podcaster is not to be religious,
mm-hmm.
convince people to my side of religious things.
Right.
My desire is to, with things are looking up,
mm-hmm.
to show where things are looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of bring that different perspective because I'm so tired of cynicism
yes.
out right. there. And, you know, that's why I'm not going to be like evangelistic with my podcast because we Christians who consider ourselves evangelistic have in effect isolated ourselves because you've got Christian music, Christian movies, Christian books, Christian this, Christian that, Christian anything. And that just doesn't jive with me because it's so plastic. It's so superficial. And that I think is why Christians are not taken seriously is because we expect other things to do the work for us. We expect, hey, here's Christian music. Listen to that. Tell me what you think. Here's a Christian movie. This will reach our friends, you know. And so I don't believe in separating myself. That's why I got involved on Michael and Evo's Winging It,
mm-hmm.
even though they're crazy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, they're nuts.
And I wouldn't say half the stuff that they say on their show, but that's beside the point. I don't dislike them because they're what a lot of people would say vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't look at it as... Oh, I can't be associated with them because, mm-hmm. you know, they'll give me a bad name. I believe in personal relationships. And I also believe that my podcast is not a place to try to convey my religious feelings because it has to be a face-to-face thing.
Right.
So my purpose, I guess, and this is what I was going to ask you guys, what your purpose is with your show. Because my purpose is just to point out, I guess, the stuff out there that's good and fun and keep it positive and keep mm-hmm. keep things looking up without being overt and giving a big religious message.
And that's similar to what our purpose is. I mean, this is what we talk about. And one of the recurring things we have in the feedback that we get is, hey, I've never heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of cool. Or that, hey, here's something that I like. Why don't you guys check it out? And which we've done. And they've sent, you know, would send something in and we find
right.
more stuff that we
right.
like, which gosh, do we really need more stuff that we
like? Well, because I think it's better to go out and look for stuff that you would want to see, not
right.
tell everybody yeah. what not to see, what not
and
to get.
On the flip side of that, finding out that we have things in common with people all over the world, no matter what, you know, what faith they have, what country they're from,
yeah.
what thing they believe, you know, if someone likes a show that we like, we have that kind of commonality to us that you wouldn't normally have found out if you didn't have something like podcasting
right.
on the internet.
Yeah, and most of our friends, you know, Brown Coat friends that we've met, for the most part, are not religious,
mm-hmm.
to put it that way.
Right.
And Christina and I have different views on it. I'm come from like a Presbyterian and a Southern Baptist kind of background on a lot of that. And Christina's Catholic. Glenn's Catholic. And so, you know, we although I would probably would say, feel safe to say that the two of you aren't typical Catholics.
No.
But
we asked too many questions.
That upbringing.
Good for you.
You know, so we take a different view on things. No, we don't have an overtly spiritual message to the show at all.
Yeah.
But I also make no bones about the fact that I am a conservative Christian person. It's I make no bones about that on the show. And try to say, you know, this is how I live. If you have a question about it, I'll be happy to talk to you. Otherwise, you know,
right.
and things
live,
that
live how you live.
I've learned from you that I've heard music that I would never have normally listened to that I love, that
mm-hmm.
I would never heard of, you know, Super Chick had I not met you. And it's stuff like that that you find out that you have things in common that you would never have normally
mm-hmm.
found out.
And it's that's the thing I find cool about a band like Super Chick is that, you know, one of the things you said that about isolation on music, you know, it's Christian music, here's pop music. That's someone that's sitting squarely in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
They've had songs in Dawson's Creek. I think they had a couple
Legally
of songs
Blonde?
In Dawson's Creek. Yeah, Legally Blonde
Legally
is
Blonde.
One of the big songs in on the Legally Blonde soundtrack is by Super Chick.
Mm-hmm.
And they, a lot of their stuff is more theme-based than
right.
message-based.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. more self-empowerment, self-pride,
self-love,
you know, self-appreciation
mm-hmm.
of who you are as a person and not
right.
so much I'm religious kind of.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where modern Christianity went wrong is we decided to approach things, or somebody decided to approach things from a judgment standpoint. And that was the biggest thing. As they saw changes in the culture, instead of reasoning with people, they lashed out at people.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, my opinion is God loves all men
mm-hmm.
and women, of course. And if I can just reflect that love to people, that will be the best thing I can do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of along those same lines. Is that who am I to come down and say something that you're doing is right or wrong? Because there's things in my life that are wrong
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I shouldn't be. I can't, you know, I can't cast a stone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing the same thing. You know, I can't say that, oh, drinking's evil when, you know, I'm...
Or cursing?
Or, yeah. Or swearing. Try to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Mitigate that as little as possible.
Dogma. The movie that I should have listed in my top three favorite movies because I love that movie. The whole idea is it's in the line that she says, it's not what faith you believe in, it's just having faith. Like, believing in something good.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us back to Serenity. And Shepherd
yes,
Book.
Yes.
What his just, last words to mouth.
Yeah, just,
yep.
You know, I don't care what you believe,
just
believe
right.
in something.
Yeah. yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for doing this impromptu segment for my show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. It's been fun.
We enjoyed it.
It's a good discussion.
Definitely something, it's a different kind of thing than what we normally get to do on our show.
I know. And we should. I like this. This is...
Well, maybe we can do more on more
right.
segments for mine. What's your website?
www.podculture.net.
And then there we go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.